it wouldn't go easy. Not if Lord Whiterose had anything to say about it. He had the sword and the training and the seeming invincibility of a nose full of spice. But if it was his time, if he wouldn't cut a dashing figure as he rode through Hell's black iron gates, hopefully with the Reaper running ahead of him. What is up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode where we last left off after Lee and Haytham are caught by Randall sneaking into the Edge. They have a showdown with the spider and his cell swords before escaping into the city. If you missed last episode or any other, I will have a link to the full playlist down in the episode description so you can check that out there, along with a couple of recap videos just to give you a reminder of where we are in the story. All right, that is enough out of me. I will catch you at the end of the episode. I'm Josh Call, and this is Last Colosseum. Alone with the rain in the dark, Elias Whiterose lay terribly awake. He felt like a man 11 feet tall. It was an altogether unpleasant feeling, that of being stretched in opposing directions. The empty thrill of the execution hadn't lasted an hour. If anything, it left him feeling more drained, more hungry, more feverish than he'd felt before. He was afraid to be alone. Normally, he loathed the company of the bootlicking courtiers who were always crowing for the attention of the High Lords. Today, he'd stayed and drank with them until even the most sycophantic of them had excused themselves. After, he'd called his porter up and bullied him into several games of stones, until Elias was so deep in his cups that even with several obvious and, he suspected, intentional blunders, the old boy couldn't help but beat him. Elias lost 2 more games before he swept the pieces off the table in a fit of pique and ordered him out of the room.
"I won. I won. I won,"
he reminded himself under his breath as thunder rattled the balcony's glass doors. From the day he'd come back from campaign, from the day he'd seen Haytham risen like the devil from the ashes of his former life, he'd felt that simmering ulcer of dread at the bottom of his gut. Sleep was achievable only beneath the drowning weight of whiskey, and even once there, it was hardly any relief. It seemed like every night he was reliving that night a 7-year past when he'd set all this spinning. Only in the dreams, he was the one dying with a knife in his side. He was the one choking on piss water in the alley out back. Until today. Today, it was over. Today, he'd won. Even while Haytham was dangling there above the steps, some irrational part of Elias half expected him to climb down off the scaffold and tear him to pieces. He'd almost pissed himself when the rope snapped. It wasn't until he'd seen the head, all gristly and dripping and beautiful above the crowd, that he'd let himself believe it could be over. That was the upward tug he was feeling. It was the warm, bright knowing that he had a future again. Only the whole business was tainted by a fundamental sense of wrongness that he hadn't been expecting. Amitha whinging in his ear the whole time had ruined it for him. He should never have invited her. He should have spent the day celebrating, but the whiskey tasted like bile, and the low, simmering fear that sat sour in his gut hadn't gone away. He wondered if this was grief. And now sleep was out of reach, even with the whiskey. He was afraid to drink more. He'd already vomited over the falls once, and he knew full well that his impending hangover would be apocalyptic. In the morning, he'd have Femariel's physician mix him another bottle of laudanum. In the meantime, he rang for Rowan and forced himself to choke down a couple bites of cold beef that the servants had sent up for his dinner. She came in the wine-dark nightdress he'd chosen for her. He was sitting on the edge of the bed, staring hollowly into the fire. The folding table with his dinner was on its side, plates and cups and bread and beef and gravy scattered across the thick carpet, a few stray peas blackening on the hearthstones. He barely noticed her there until she gently tucked a stray lock of his hair behind his ear.
"Come lie with me," he muttered.
She kissed him and helped him out of his clothes. He was drunker than he'd thought, but he caught her hand when she reached for his silken small clothes.
"Just lie," he breathed.
Concern and affection mingled on Rowan's face. She climbed onto the bed and made space for him. He lay beside her, his head pressed to her chest, listening to the steady drumbeat of her heart. It anchored him. She felt him shiver, and she gently reached across him and pulled the thick blanket on the corner of the bed over them both.
"Thank you," he heard himself whisper.
He wasn't sure when he'd grown fond of her, but there it was. It was Rowan to whom he'd confessed his secret fears, Rowan who'd kept him steady when he couldn't sleep. She was the only one with whom he felt he could let that aloof mask of nobility slip and just be. She reminded him of Amitha in that way.
"I love you."
He almost didn't hear her over the rain. He thought she'd fallen asleep. She wriggled down to where his face was and looked him in the eye for a long while. Her leg was draped between his. Her fingertips traced the hard sandpaper line of his jaw. She repeated it. He wanted to say it back. He might even have believed it, but the stone in his throat dammed the words. Her breath caught when he pried her knees apart. When he was done, she didn't press the question. The knock came soon after. He was lying on the bed with his arms and legs splayed, the rain on the glass a queer countersong to the plash of Rowan squatting over the chamber pot. Three light taps on the sitting room door. He kicked his small clothes from around his ankles as he went to answer it. The chill of the sitting room was bracing after his bedchamber's stifling warmth. It amused Elias to see the guard avert his gaze from the nude lord, and he gave his report staring at the stone set on the tea table. Elias just now noticed that it had at some point been reset. His eggs shriveled like raisins as the house guard relayed what the keeper had told him at the gate. The twinge in his gut, for which his short romp with Rowan had been palliative, came roaring back, and he nearly doubled over with the pain.
"Was the girl hurt?"
"No, my lord. The keepers have two cloaks stationed at the inn, just in case he tries to come back. At first light, they'll begin sweeps throughout the city until he turns up."
The house guard saluted.
"We'll find him, my lord."
Elias nodded. He was hardly listening. The brawler wouldn't let himself be caught at the Eidolon. He was too clever for that. He was coming for Elias. That knowledge came crashing down on his shoulders like the weight of the sky.
"Good," he heard himself croak. "I want extra cloaks watching the lifts, cargo and passenger, and more men on the wall, and double my personal guard. If the captain says we haven't the men to spare, you tell him Elias Bloody White Rose is calling for more swords. This isn't a request."
The house guard swallowed as he nodded. He saluted again when Elias dismissed him.
"Is he still here?"
White Rose called after him as he retreated toward the big double doors, beyond which lay four of Elias's hand-picked men-at-arms. The soldier turned.
"My lord, the Grey Cloak, is he still in the keep?"
The house guard told him that he was.
"Good. Tell him to pass his orders down, but not to breathe a word about the Reaper to anyone. Just tell them a threat has been made against the keep. Same goes for you."
The house guard saluted one more time on his way out the door. Elias remained where he was in the doorway, staring at the floor, scrunching the carpet's thick fibers between his toes like tree roots. He was afraid to move. Afraid that if he tried, the crushing weight of the house guard's revelation would flatten him.
He couldn't breathe. "Are you coming?"
He felt Rowan's presence just behind him, her warm breath on his shoulder. He didn't look at her. He flinched when she touched him, and she withdrew. He saw a flicker of hurt when he turned to face her. She quickly smothered it.
"Your hands are cold," he managed.
She blew in them before trying again, drawing in slowly and cupping them around his neck. He could feel his heart thudding against her palm. He wasn't looking at her.
"Where are you?"
She breathed into his chest. He didn't answer.
"Who is that?"
Elias pulled away from her. He raked his gaze along the wall, as if any shadowy corner might already hold the brawler.
"He's coming," he croaked.
He fished his breeches off the floor and pulled them on, ignoring the smear of gravy coagulating on the thigh.
"He's coming."
"Who's coming?"
She sounded worried, but not afraid. He didn't answer. He dug through his wardrobe for a pair of clean socks.
"Elias, who's..."
"Hey them."
The lordling spat without looking at her. The name rocked her. She caught the bedpost with one hand to steady herself. Rowan had pieced together much of the story for herself from the rambling snatches she overheard when she came up and found him drunk and muttering. She'd later confirmed it while he was basking in the glow after one of their romps, when he was liable to give her half the city if she'd asked. Once she knew, and she had assured him between kisses that she didn't think he was wrong for doing what he did, she'd become his confidant, even advising him to let Amitha go once Haytham had been taken in. He'd flirted with the idea of hanging her next to the brawler. She crossed to the armchair where he was sitting and knelt down beside him while he was still pulling on his socks.
"No," she murmured. "No, he's not. Look at me."
Her smooth brow was creased with concern. She took his hand in hers.
He's gone. You know that. You saw it for yourself."
"I don't know what I saw," Elias snapped,
ripping his hand away as he stood up.
"But I know Haytham. I know he's coming. I can feel it."
She followed him to the sitting room door. Elias crossed into his study, kneading at his brow with his knuckles until purple-black spots danced before his closed eyes. He slammed open his desk drawer and pawed for his effects. Rowan's voice followed him, choked with worry.
"You need to rest," she begged. "I know you're remembering the last time, but this is different. He's dead."
"That's never stopped him before,"
he muttered, snapping the drawstring as he clawed open the pouch.
"He's the devil."
He swept the letters off his desk and upended the pouch. The copper spoon tinkled onto the floor. He didn't notice.
"He stole Amitha right out of the jail and nearly made it out again, right under their fat noses,"
he continued, mostly to himself. He lined up a thick caterpillar of the fine yellow powder.
"The only reason he didn't is because I was waiting for him. I was ready."
He snuffed deep, howling and slapping the desk as empty exhilaration roared through him. His headache receded. When he came back up, grinding his teeth and grinning, he saw her watching him, her lip trembling. He didn't remember whether he'd taken spice in front of her before. Didn't care. He scowled.
"Anytime someone has underestimated Haytham, they have died for it," he said, advancing on her. "That's what you want, is it? Do you want me to die?"
She flinched as his shadow overtook her.
"No."
"Then shut your mouth. When I want your opinion, I'll ask."
She nodded.
"I'm sorry. I just want to take care of you. You're not well."
"I don't need to be taken care of," he growled. "I need more guards."
She nodded. Her lips pursed and teeth clenched to keep from sobbing, but her chest continued to shudder violently. He tipped her chin up so that their eyes met, hers brimming with tears. He felt her flinch and almost pull away from him. Anger uncoiled in his gut.
"You love me, do you?"
He kept his voice low and steady.
"That's what you said."
He traced the course of one of her tears down her cheek until it dripped off her chin.
"What do you want from me, Rowan?"
Elias whispered.
"You want me to marry you? You were a gutter whore when I found you. I'm the governor's hand."
He slipped the strap off her shoulder and bared one of her breasts.
"Don't ruin this by getting sentimental,"
he murmured, tracing her teat with his thumb.
"You don't love me. The only reason you think you do is because I'm the first buck who let you think you had a choice before I bent you." She slapped him.
It surprised him more than it hurt, and he stumbled back a step. She fixed her nightdress and folded her arms across her chest, a flush blooming on her cheeks.
"My lord,"
she whispered, looking at the floor. Something primal flared hot in his belly. He thought about mounting her then and there to prove his point. Were it not for the Reaper, he might have. Instead, he tipped up her chin again, looked long into her eyes.
"Rowan."
Her head cracked against the corner of his bedside table when he slapped her. She fell in a heap. His gaze lingered for a moment on her small, still frame. "Bitch." He finished dressing quickly, belting on his sword and his hand crossbow. He thought about armor, but decided against it. He wanted mobility when the time came to cut the brawler into little pieces and burn them so that not even Haytham could clamor his way out of hell. "The next time I ring you," he looked back to where she lay in the corner by the bed and stomped himself. Rowan was gone. He heard the sitting room door thud shut.
Damn,
that was fine. He had greater monsters to contend with. Before he went for another sniff of spice, he took a long look at himself in the mirror. His breeches were the same color as Rowan's slip, and his black jerkin was patterned with blood-red blossoms. He rolled his sleeves up to his elbows and rested his hand on the pommel of his hand and a halfer. It wouldn't go easy. Not if Lord Whiterose had anything to say about it. He had the sword and the training and the seeming invincibility of a nose full of spice. But if it was his time, and if he wouldn't cut a dashing figure as he rode through Hell's black iron gates, hopefully with the Reaper running ahead of him.
Thank you guys so much for listening. It is truly a joy to be able to share this whole story with you. It is crazy to think that we are just a couple of episodes away from the end of this entire series. If you have been enjoying the story so far, let me know down in the comments what you think. And if you're catching this on podcast, you can do me a favor by leaving a 5-star review. All right, that is enough from me. I will catch you next week, same time, same place. I'll see you then.